the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Good morning, Terry Lynn. How are you?
Good morning. I'm wonderful. How are you? Look how beautiful you are.
Well, I had to clean up nicely because you were there. And before we got started, I was reading from a book called Voices of the 21st Century, Bold, Brave, and Brilliant Women Who Make a Difference.
Yes, I am so happy you read that.
And I'm telling you, I found something amazing on page 141. Finding Courage in Our Story, Terry Sidford. It was 1970, and I was living in Encinitas, California. I was 8 years old. My sister and I were in our bedroom when suddenly she blurted out, "Terry, grab whatever you can. We gotta leave tonight." "Why? Tonight? Why?" "Mom and Jerry have never been this drunk, and something might happen." Frightened and confused, I grabbed a pillowcase and put whatever clothes were on the floor inside. "Debbie and I can't leave my goldfish. Can we take them with us?" "No, Terry, we have to walk to Dad's house." We ran out of our apartment in the dark towards my father's apartment. My sister had called him and he had told us that he was going to come and find us. As we walked across the railroad tracks, I remember feeling like a homeless person escaping from something dangerous. My father found us and took us to his bachelor pad. We never lived with our mother again. Oh, Terry, that was a compelling story. And it just spoke to me. Brains, did it speak to you? I hope so, because we have the author here, Terry Lynn Sidford. She is awesome sauce. She's going to tell us a little bit more about her escape to freedom and reconnecting and finding herself, how she came up with this great collaboration and book, and her trip to Africa. I want to hear all about it and her adventures there in Dubai. Brains, help me welcome our guest today, Terry Sidford. How you doing? Is it Terry Lynn?
It's Terry.
Okay, so we're Terry. You just put the Lynn in there because it's cute.
Exactly, yeah. Sometimes I'll use it if I want to be cute.
Well, you are cute and you are one heck of a writer, because I was hanging on to every word. Tell us a little bit about your story and your journey, Terry.
Thanks, April. My journey is an interesting one, and I found through the years that I'm not alone. And when you're going through something like that, when you grow up with a mother that was an alcoholic and forced to run away so that you can have safety, and I lived with my father my entire life after 8 years old, I thought that I was the only one, but I realized through my own journey of hiding and feeling and low self-esteem because I was so embarrassed from this life story of mine, that there are a lot more people out there that are just like me or have stories that are even more compelling. But I knew that I needed to understand more about this, the women and people that survive difficulty. So of course, I became a life coach. And during that process, I realized that there was a quality in so many of these people, and most of them were women. I attracted women into my practice, but they had a quality they didn't even know they had. And I needed to understand what that was. And that was, is their ability to handle difficulties or to survive or to be stronger than they think they can be.
Right.
So in that journey, I created a survey on the subject of courage, and I gathered it from 100 women. And through that process, I found that there was a thread, and the thread was that these women are amazingly courageous, but they did not see it in themselves.
Why do you think that they didn't see it in themselves? Is because their emotions were so suppressed, that they had a lot of shame associated with it, that they have been dumbed down by others, people didn't listen to them? Or was it fear? Or is it a combination of all of those things?
I think it's a combination of all of those things. As women, we feel that we need to be strong, and we just do what we need to do.
Right.
So we're kind of embarrassed.
Hell.
Right.
That's so, right. We we get it done. That's why we're taking back over the planet. I tell women all the time, okay, this is what you have to understand, female brains, okay? This is a totally different sphere that we're in. You know, our female energy is coming together with rage and with force. We are about to take back over the entire planet. We don't want just our legislator. We don't want just our household. We want the Mickey Fricky entire planet back.
Okay? Absolutely.
And we're going to do it, and we're going to do it right if and when we can remove the isms.
Yes.
The sexism, the racism, the classism, the stereotypes, the gender inequality, all of that. If you just change it from a male to a female, you're not doing the work. I want women to get in and do the work. And that's what you're doing with your team, you know, that you coach. Tell us a little bit about your coaching, Terry.
I work with a lot of people from all walks of life. I've been coaching for about 20 years. And I always, no matter what they come to me for, whether it's work, personal life, you know, family, money, it doesn't matter. We always start from the foundation. The foundation is understanding your values, your passion, your purpose, and your why. Why do you get up every day? And what is that fire inside of you that burns? And you know, why do you do what you do? So if you, and understanding that your values aren't always yours. You know, there's values that you came to this world with. There's some that you gathered, but there's others that you took on.
Right. And that you've inherited that have been indoctrinated in you.
Yes.
Which is some crazy sauce.
Yes. Well, like a crazy sauce for sure. I mean, talk about women not being bright, beautiful, and bold. Oh, no, that, you know, we're just being too loud if we're doing that.
Right. We're being disrespectful, or, you know, you got an attitude. You know, I'm going to give it to you 110%. Now, I know how to dial back, okay, because it is equally, if not more so, important for us to be good listeners. If you just jaw-jacking the whole time, brains, you're going to miss it.
Yes.
Miss it. You cannot over-talk it. You cannot overthink it.
Yes.
So, Terry, you have done some incredible things, like go to Africa. You just returned back. I can still see the glow in your face. Your pictures were amazing. Tell us why you went to Africa and what you learned while you were there in Africa and in Dubai.
It was an incredible, life-changing trip, and I'm absolutely still reeling from it. It gave me a chance to really look at life, how it really is in nature. And we can relate back to our own lives when we can look at animals in the wild kingdom, because they are in present time. And the only time that they are starting to worry about anything is if they need to eat or they're trying to survive.
Right.
But what I noticed is that if they're not doing that, they're peaceful. They're in present time. And I found myself in present time looking at these beautiful animals and then looking for little signs of, you know, to find them, like a broken branch, a footprint, other animals warning other animals that there might be danger. I was completely in present time. Mm. I brought that back. I see little details now, and I don't really worry about much. It's a feeling of being grateful. And I also brought back the soul, and I could cry even talking about it, of these people, because they've been through so much with apartheid. Yet they did not harden their hearts, and I know they still have a long way to go. But they have taken what Nelson Mandela instilled in them as a legacy, that it takes all of us to bring each other together. They know they need to do that. We need to do that.
Well, there's nobody a better unifier than his story and how he was in that cell for all those years, and how his wife, Winnie, you know, forged on, and then they ended up separating and going their own way. And then his death, you know, he was definitely a man of much wisdom and grace. So you got an opportunity to visit the people of South Africa. What did you find unusual about them? And what was something unusual that you ate while you were there?
Oh, that's easy to answer. The eating part is easy to answer. I ate some camel ice cream and ostrich meat, which was like a steak. And
really?
I know for those that are vegetarians, that might not sound so great, but it was really good. It was really good.
So the camel ice cream, was it made from camel milk?
Milk, yeah, camel milk. It says the best milk that you can drink for you, supposedly, but it was great. And then what I took away from the people that was unusual is what your question was. Just this peacefulness, knowing that they've been through so much, and then their smiles would melt me. And I realized I wanted to bring that smile back. I'm practicing. How can I smile to a stranger like they smiled to me?
Right, right.
So that felt like unusual. Sad but true.
Did that give you inspiration to write even more?
Yes, I've already started my newsletter or my blog on my experience because it is so life-changing. I really want to keep that in my soul and in my being and bring it to wherever I am facing and here in America. And I do believe, like you, April, I know that one person can make a difference.
They can. They really can. And they can create chaos too, but we ain't going to talk about that.
I think you know what you mean.
Yes, because folks can, you know, they can stir up some mess. So how did you get in contact with these women that you collaborated with in Voices of the 21st Century?
I've been speaking about courage, women and courage, from my book, 100 Hearts. After I gathered the survey, I wrote the book, 100 Hearts, and it's the stories from all these women. And I started becoming a motivational speaker. I did a TEDx talk on the subject of courage. And I contacted the Women's Speaker Association to become a member and network with them, and they had an opportunity to bring a lot of their members together and share their stories, and there was interviews, and they picked a handful of us to share our story. I felt it was a huge, huge honor, and they have the same feeling that you and I do, that if we bring people together, we share our stories, that we don't feel alone, and that empowers us to be stronger and more brave to really show up and make a difference. And I am so honored to be a part of that book.
Well, I mean, you are showing up in so many ways. I want to dial back a little bit about the embarrassment and shame that you had living with a mother that's an alcoholic. You know, there's such a stigma, and I'm going to do a show on this, but there's such a stigma about women and addiction, more so than with men. It seems like society embraces a man's addiction more than they do with a woman. First of all, did your mother ever recover? Did she ever get sober?
She did. She's my hero. She did. And it was tough. She lost her children and she recovered, went back to school, became a registered nurse, and had a healthy life. And it took a while, and we remained very, very close, but she did it. She's my hero.
She is. Now, do you ever, and you know, I like to ask these questions, do you ever concern yourself with maybe having the alcoholic gene? Do you ever think about that?
Absolutely, I do. And I've been very, if I drink too much, I always get very concerned. So I just drink moderately. I do like it. And I have a conflict there. Or if I see someone else drink too much, that's when it really starts to re-stimulate in me. So, you know, I've kept it in balance, and I'm very, very aware of that.
And so how is your father?
He's good. He's good.
Good?
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, now it was my stepfather, so she remarried. So with the story about the two of them, it was her second marriage.
Oh, okay, the stepfather.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
you know, I was very fortunate. I had a wonderful stepfather that stepped in and colored in all the beautiful blank spaces of my life. But, you know, again, it's very challenging to introduce a step-parent into a family. Are you a parent?
Do you have children? I am a parent of two beautiful sons.
Two beautiful sons.
Yes.
So what do you tell them about walking through life and life's journeys? You know, a little bit about what you went through, you know, and finding yourself and having to escape from that situation, but also about relationships. What kind of conversations do you have with the males in your life?
I just told them to really understand themselves first and foremost, and that no matter what happens in your life, you get a start over. But you can start over but learn from your mistakes. A mistake's not a mistake unless you keep doing it. You can make mistakes, but become a better person, make a difference in life. I want them to contribute and understand what their passions are and find a partner that really supports that as well. And that they understand who they are and that you can support their passions and purpose and, you know, really take things to the next level. And then, so they know my story. And
they honor you, you know, they respect you, that you are an overcomer. So tell us a little bit about your coaching program. What is it? What are some of your turnkey approaches to success? What's the difference with working with Terry and working with April?
It's really a personal, relationship. So I really hold you in a safe environment. That's what a lot of my clients say, that they feel that they all automatically just start opening up to places that they've never been before, because I hold this space that is empowering. I know that they have the answers. It's loving, it's kind, but it's also, I hold them accountable because I know what they're capable of achieving. So that's really my essence of a coach, and everybody needs something different. And I'm really honest and with making sure we pick the right combination together.
Right fit. Because some folks are not coachable, Terry. You know that, girl. You got to kick them straight off the team.
Exactly.
But we can still provide them options and still provide them directions as to facilitate. So say you run across somebody that's, you know, not gelling for you. What sort of suggestions would you give them as far as still being encouraging to move forward, still wanting them to be their best selves, but maybe your combination isn't the right recipe for the cake to rise? What would you say to that person?
I would tell them that there's many different coaches out there, and to go out there and have consultations with different types of coaches, because there's many, many, many incredible coaches, and you will find the right fit. If you're just really stuck in the past and you can't get in the present time to move to the future, or really live life in present time so that you can create your future, then maybe they can look at counseling or, you know, or therapy. That's probably when that might need to come into play.
Right, because you might need a little bit more talk therapy, or you might need a little blue pill. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Time you got to get the edge off, as long as you do it responsibly and under a doctor's control, you might need it. There's no shame associated. Get whatever you need to make yourself feel better. Exactly. Talking about feeling better, you live in Utah.
Yes.
Do you ski?
I do, when it's a sunny and warm day. I grew up in San Diego, where you're at.
I know, girl, and I pour the cocktails in the lodge. I used to ski. I can't do it anymore. What is it like living in Utah? I love it. It's beautiful. The air is so crisp and so clean, and it's just really a beautiful state.
It's gorgeous. There's so much here. There's the south, they have Red Rock, and it's warm. And then up here, you have the mountains, and we have skiing, biking, hiking. It's stunning, and there's a lot of wildlife, and I love wildlife. I love nature, and I see it every single day. I see moose going through our yard, and it's just a gorgeous place. It does get cold, but it's still pretty.
Well, pretty and cold, you know, it makes for a recipe for great cuddling and canoodling. So how long have you been married, Terry?
I've been married 15 years, the second time around, and it's been a beautiful journey together.
And so what was that like under the stars of the African sky there with your man and the wildlife? And, you know, did your inner Shiro just come out, girl?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad that you asked that, because there was one moment where we were in the truck and we stopped and looked up at the stars, and the location of the stars are different because of where we were at. And then there was a full moon as well. So it was magical to see that, you know, it made you realize that you really are in a different part of our planet, but we all still could see the same moon. It was magical. Yeah. And yes.
I know. I love that. Me and Mr. Magnificent love to cruise, and he was in the Navy, and he teaches me so much about, you know, how to look at the stars and tell where you are and look out and see if you're looking for aliens and all this kind of great stuff. So traveling with a person that you love is so powerful.
It is.
Where are you traveling to? Where do you see yourself in the next 2 or 3 years, Terry?
Everything is just a bonus for us. We'd like to go to Asia, you know, maybe Thailand.
I love it.
So we're thinking Thailand. That's just calling for us right now. And maybe Bali, something like that.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And then if you're really courageous, you can go ahead and get you one of those tattoos.
Exactly.
They do it with the pin and the stick.
Oh, that hurts. I know. It's even more painful than regular tattoos. But, you know, I'm
a Shiro, honey. You can take it all. You have
opened up
a lot in your life, a lot in your life. So I thank you so much for being here on The Edge with us. I mean, you are just a wealth of information. Is there anything that you'd like to share with our brains before we conclude today's interview?
Thank you, April, for having me, first of all. But, you know, I think this platform to let people know that no matter what your story is, it doesn't have to define you, and you can start recreating a new story of your life, and that we all need to come together. And that's really what I want everyone to know from my experience, my own life, and from traveling and my books. So let's come together and make a difference. And thanks so much. And you can contact me, find my information on coaching, speaking, books at Terry Sidford, TerrySidford.com.
It's a great read, and the other stories in here are equally compelling. You've done a great job, and I thank you so much. All of her information brains are going to be down at the bottom. I want you to watch this on the watch party. I want you to share it all over the planet with your friends. We have wonderful, engaging, powerful, thought-provoking, innovating, motivating, game-changing conversations right here on The Edge between me and Terry and a host of other brains. Go back and subscribe, okay? That's what we want to do. We want to raise the numbers. I want you to be pinged and dinged every time someone new approaches The Edge. Thank you so much, Terry, for being here on The Edge. Please come back. Keep us informed on your travel. Maybe you'll start a travel blog, too.
Absolutely. I would love to do that. Thanks for having me.
All right, and thanks for being here, brains. Have a good day, okay? You know I'm counting on you, okay? I can't count on nobody else. Bye, guys.